Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, here in his car once again, following this time Purdue's 76-64 win over Penn State here in Mackey Arena. This is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. I hope you didn't just hear me clear my throat right before I went on here. What you will not hear this time is the bonging and beeping that you heard last time when I was using my phone as my GPS while I was driving back from College Park to Baltimore following the Maryland game. Now I'm in town. I know all the roads. I know where I'm going. There will be no GPS. What there will be is a good 8 to 10 minutes here of Purdue basketball-focused monologue following Purdue's 12-point win over Penn State, completing a season sweep of the Nittany Lions, at least in the regular season. We'll see about the Big Ten tournament, but this was a really interesting game, shall we say. One that sort of raises some questions in the sense of it's now been the last game and a half for Purdue where the opponent in one form or another, with pressure of some kind of or another, has really created problems of some kind or another for Purdue. At halftime in the Maryland game, it seemed like Maryland really ramped up its pressure and half-court defense on Purdue's guards. That led to a sort of uncharacteristically panicky Purdue offense that took a lot of quick, bad shots and shot 16.7% because of it after halftime and ended up losing that game, obviously. Today, this was about as out of body, out of mind an experience for Purdue basketball as I think is imaginable, because this is a team that has gotten to where it is today, right in the thick of the Big Ten championship hunt, for a lot of reasons. But one of the main ones is that it simply takes care of the basketball. It's a very pragmatic sort of formula Purdue has to basketball this year, where if they get more opportunities than you, if they get more possessions than you, and their shots are worth 50% more than your shots, because Purdue shoots a lot of threes, Purdue's going to have a pretty good chance to win at the end of the day. When you throw in some defense, throw in some other obviously key elements to basketball, it's been a pretty solid formula for Purdue this season. But the biggest piece of that formula has been taking care of the basketball. To me, that's been a little bit surprising. They've done such a good job with that because Purdue's personnel is so young, in a lot of cases inexperienced, guys playing new roles. Purdue is going to be more aggressive in the backcourt, was going to be more aggressive in the backcourt this season, far less experienced all across the board. That just screamed to me of, you know, turnovers being a real concern for this team coming into the season. They have proven me wrong decisively this season because they've been really good about that. Today, they were awful. It was like they hadn't seen a 1-2-2 zone trap all season long. And the thing was, this wasn't pressure. This wasn't West Virginia all-out blitz. This was stall ball defense, basically. You know, Pat Chambers himself said it after the game. They just wanted Purdue to work with a shortened shot clock. Instead, they wound up turning Purdue into a shell of itself this season because Purdue just couldn't handle it. I don't know if it was the style of defense per se, or this was just Purdue having one of those days, Purdue just being unfocused, whatever it might have been. Purdue just turned the ball over wholesale 23 times, obviously a season high. The previous season high was 20 at Florida State. But this started from the jump ball, and it endured all through the game. You know, Purdue had this game won a bunch of times decisively in the second half, and then they would have another turnover spell. Penn State would get back in it, and with 4.5 minutes to go, whatever it was, this was a 5-point game because of turnovers. You know, Purdue dug itself a huge first half hole because of turnovers, and then it let Penn State out of a huge hole because of turnovers, and that's obviously not ideal. But Purdue made a couple of really big plays when it needed really big plays, as this team has been prone to do, which is part of the reason it's so successful. Timely play is kind of important. And kind of won the game in spite of itself. But, you know, Penn State might have done Purdue a favor here. Now that Purdue's won this game, you can say that perhaps this puts this sort of issue on the front burner for Purdue here. Well, now, again, whether it was the specific defense, I don't think it was. I think it was more about Purdue than it was about Penn State, probably. But if it makes Purdue acutely aware that it might have an issue here, it might have a soft underbelly, so to speak, an Achilles heel, if you will, then that might have just done Purdue a big favor, because you always want to be on top of your weaknesses, even when you're playing to your strengths. When you're winning, you want to focus, at least this is the way Matt Painter's always approached it, when you're winning, you want to make sure you're staying on top of what might lead to you not winning. And today, obviously, a pretty significant element of the game failed Purdue. But Purdue won anyway for a lot of reasons. One, it shot the ball really well. When it had the ball, it shot the ball really well. 9 of 16 from three-point range. Again, it made shots early in a half, as it's been prone to do this season. It made timely shots. Grady Eifert makes every big one he takes. And Evan Boudreau made a big three for Purdue. And after some first-half foul trouble, Carson Edwards got going to start the second half. A couple of notable things from this game is, one, you know, Purdue won this game without Travion Williams, basically. He only played 2 minutes after he was ill this week, missed a bunch of practice. I think that's really notable. Purdue won this game because of Matt Harm stepping in at the five and Purdue not missing a beat. He is not the guy you feature on offense the way you probably feature Travion Williams necessarily, but he finishes with a career-high 18 points. He got them out of the post. He got them out of screen and roll. He got them at the free throw line. And he got them shooting a three with 47 seconds to go. That basically was the final stake driven through Penn State's heart. Matt Harms was really good on offense. He was really good on defense. He was really good, period. And Purdue out-rebounded Penn State. That was one of the biggest keys to the game. Mike Watkins, who was one of the biggest concerns of the game because of his presence on the boards, was a non-factor because of foul trouble. That was enormous. But also, kind of beyond that, you know, Carson Edwards was in foul trouble in the first half, had to leave the game for an extended stretch. Purdue turned it on when he left the game. And, you know, I think that was really significant. That shows you what Purdue is top to bottom. You know, there's this perception out there that Purdue is sort of Carson Edwards in a veritable cast of thousands, that Carson Edwards basically has eight guys off the street who are playing with him. And that's simply not even close to reality. Purdue has good basketball players. The thing is, Purdue has good players playing very important roles very well. They are not the sexiest guys from a basketball perspective. They're not the most exciting players sometimes. A lot of them are young. A lot of them haven't established their names yet. But a couple of guys are coming in that sense. You know, Sasha Stefanovic and Aaron Wheeler were enormous. They might have been the difference in this game. I think probably I would take the shooting and Matt Harms over them, but there's no questioning the role that they played in this win, especially in the first half. Absolutely in the first half, because it was those two guys, really, especially Stefanovic, because he almost solely accounted for the run that got Purdue from down by a couple of possessions to being up a couple possessions. He almost single-handedly accounted for that run, so I'm citing him, maybe Morgan Wheeler, whose contributions were more spread out over the half. But those were the two guys who steadied Purdue when their best player was on the bench, their best offensive big man was hardly playing, and Penn State was making a bunch of threes. And for a while, they're getting a couple impactful offensive rebounds. Those two guys came up huge for Purdue in this game. It steadied them. It got them to the second half. The shooting really came alive to start the second half. Purdue did a better job taking care of the basketball until some of the spells that struck later in the second half. But you have to give Sasha Stefanovic and Aaron Wheeler a lot of credit for this win, obviously, in addition to Matt Harms, who canceled out the loss of Travion Williams, whose loss was also canceled out to a certain extent by Mike Watkins' foul trouble. You have to give Carson Edwards a lot of credit for shaking off the first half foul trouble, making a couple of really big shots, making a couple of really nice passes, sharing the basketball, doing the things he does when he's really good. That being said, he finishes this game with 7 turnovers, no Jahl Easton, with a very uncharacteristic 6. With Carson Edwards, you're going to get games like this periodically. Hit his style of play, hit his aggressiveness, they just lend themselves to every now and then him having a high turnover game like this. This was very out of character for Jahl Easton. You have to look at it like a blip on the radar, I guess you'd say, sort of an outlier, sort of an anomaly. But we'll see. You know, Purdue all across the board, but mainly in its backcourt, turned the ball over way too much today against not exactly groundbreaking defense. So Purdue is going to have a lot to focus on going to Indiana on Tuesday night. Obviously, no, it doesn't matter how bad Indiana is this year. It is a different animal when Purdue plays Indiana in Assembly Hall. It is a different animal, and it will be again Tuesday night. Take nothing for granted in that one. Purdue has every reason in the world for its focus to have just been sharpened, because it made a lot of really bad mistakes in this game and won it anyway, and kind of won it going away anyway. And that was a credit to what Purdue has to fall back on when its strengths aren't its strengths. And I think its weaknesses tonight, which are normally its strengths, I think that going sideways on Purdue the way it went sideways on it, it gives Purdue every reason in the world to be as focused as maybe it's ever been this season. That being said, you know, Purdue just came off a loss to Maryland and turned the ball over 23 times against Penn State. Most of them, or a lot of them, four of them in succession right at the start of the game. So did the second half of Maryland bleed into the first half against Penn State? I don't know. That was every reason in the world for Purdue to be focused. Now Purdue made a lot of mistakes, won anyway. They have to be super focused at Indiana on Tuesday night. If they turn the ball over a bunch of times there, it's a different deal than turning the ball over a bunch of times against Penn State at home. It just is very, very different, and Purdue has to be super careful at Indiana Tuesday night for some of what could have cost it tonight to not absolutely cost it Tuesday night. So from Purdue's 12-point win over Penn State here in Mackey Arena, that's what I got. This is Brian Newbert from GoldenBlack.com with your Golden Black Radio post-game podcast brought to you by Purdue Federal Credit Union. Follow us, Purdue Bookstores, the East End Grill, First Source Bank, 6th Street Dive Restaurant, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. We will talk to you again on Tuesday night following Purdue's game in Assembly Hall at Indiana. I know you will all be watching, so hopefully you will all also be listening. Have a good night, everybody.